All right, hope you can hear okay. Just test that and see if you can hear it okay. Let me know if you can, everything's coming in loud and clear.
I stand amazed in garden, verse 2. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but a sweat.
Ain't been working out in the cold yet.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior.
I didn't either when I was your age. All right. I'm laughing at Luke because he doesn't like coffee, but he's like Lee. Lee from our church doesn't like coffee either. So there's something wrong with those guys. I started to like coffee, though. I never used to either, but I started to like it. And then I started to like the taste even more. I'm looking for something here. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, come on. There we go. What's this now? All right. I am extremely late. I had a lot of things going on.
I cut off the stuff that I ate.
Sure, sure. I started late today. Terribly late. Terribly, terribly late. But I figured I better come on anyway. At least for a little while. Let's see. Here we go. This will be good. You know, there's a lot of heresies out there right now that they've always been there. They're not new. They've been around for a very long time. But unfortunately, they make resurgences, these heresies do. And there really isn't anything new about them in that sense. They might be packaged a little bit differently, but they're pretty much the same. This is the Way of Life Encyclopedia, and this is the section on the Trinity. I recommend the Way of Life Encyclopedia if you don't have it, but it would be good to get. It's really a cheap download. David Cloud provides that. It's like $10, I think, or something like that, and you can order the book for like $20 or $30 or something. But anyway, I'm seeing a lot of heresy, and it's coming from a lot of these Ruckmanites out there. I'm going to show you some things. And, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much everywhere, and I put a post on Facebook about it. And I hate to make this kid any more popular than probably what he is, but... The thing is that one of the things that he is teaching is basically oneness doctrine. And I took these pictures of these screenshots. I could just go right to his article, but I took these pictures of the screenshots here. He says the Trinity in oneness. And see, Andrew Sluter is another one, okay? Andrew Sluter, and it was a popular Ruckmanite that does a broadcast on YouTube and all this stuff. And he's a preacher that goes around preaching to different churches. He's a Ruckmanite, but they're teaching oneness doctrine. They're teaching modalism. They're teaching basically that God the Father and Jesus, that Jesus is the Father. Now, that's not biblical. The Bible does not say that Jesus is the Father. And that's what they're teaching. There is so much ignorance today theologically when it comes to the doctrine of Christ and when it comes to the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and the Father. There's so much absolute ignorance out there today. It is baffling to see it. And it's because people are not studying. Pastors are not learning the Bible the way that they should. They're not studying it. They're not understanding simple Bible doctrine. And that's a major problem today. Modalism has a resurgence today. Modalism is being taught. And you might wonder what modalism is. So I'll show you what that is here and give you some definitions here. It's the doctrine that the persons of the Trinity represent only three modes or aspects of the divine revelation, not distinct and coexisting persons of the divine nature. In other words, basically, that the three persons in the Godhead, they're not three persons, they're three aspects, or they're three manifestations of God. That's what they're teaching. They're teaching that basically there are three manifestations of God, but they are not persons. They are simply manifestations, but that's not true. And the problem is, it's what's being taught today, and I'm seeing it everywhere, like on this Facebook post here. He's trying to defend this Andrew Sluter guy, and this other Ruckmanite said, denounces the heresy of oneness, naming a heresy about the Trinity, the oneness heresy, makes no sense to me. Well, it doesn't make any sense to you because you don't know the Bible, and I don't even think you're saved. You don't even understand repentance. You wrote a book against repentance. I've read his book, and it's absolutely against repentance. He preaches against biblical repentance. It's absolutely asinine. So when you tell me you don't understand the Godhead, I understand you don't, and you don't understand the work of the Holy Ghost. Well, I get that too. So he goes on and he has these basically teaching one. He's teaching modalism. He's teaching the same thing that Sluter's teaching. Right. How can Jesus sit on the right hand of himself? I know. And the prayer in John chapter 17 is not a schizophrenic prayer. Jesus was praying to the Father very clearly. The scriptures say that. What's going on with these guys? Well, heresy begets heresy. Proof number two that Jesus is the Father, he says. I mean, I'm shaking my head here. I'm thinking, are you serious? Tell me you're not writing books and teaching people. Tell me that this guy right here is not writing books and teaching people. I can't tell you that because he actually is. He's actually writing books and teaching people this heresy. Let's see. See if I, well, here's his article right here. Saying that Jesus is the Father. My stars, these people are insane. Anyway, so I don't know where. This is what happens when you're a one-hit wonder. Okay? These guys are a one-hit wonder. They're King James onlyists, which I am too, but the point is that they're a one-hit wonder. That's what they're like. Well, his books, let's see. Let me find his books for you here before we get started so you understand. I bought his soul-winning book. I bought his books and I read them. Because I couldn't believe how absolutely asinine they were. When somebody told me this guy wrote a book that denies biblical repentance, I'm like, that ought to be a real good book. So I bought it and I read it and I was like, that's the biggest bunch of garbage I've ever heard in my life. Look at it. This is the book right here. Yeah. Isn't that great? Oh boy, right? Oh boy. Yep, here's somebody that got I read the book. I could give a review for it, all right. And the Soul Winning Crash Course. That's the soul-winning crash course without repentance, by the way. So in other words, the Jesus that they believe in is the Father. And they believe they're believing the same thing that Pentecostal oneness believes. That's what they're believing. The Trinity in oneness. I've struggled to understand the recent uproar over Andrew Sluter's explanation of the Holy Trinity, which some have denounced as the heresy of oneness. Naming a heresy about the Trinity of the oneness heresy makes no sense to me, since 1 John 5:7 specifically says, these three are one. Can you believe that somebody actually follows this guy? And he actually tries to use 1 John 5:7. He actually tries to use 1 John 5:7 to teach Pentecostal oneness. Yeah. It doesn't say these three are one God. It says these three are one. If God had meant these three are one God, he could have easily written that. Oh my. I mean, clearly you have somebody that is totally ignorant of biblical doctrine. Like a rock band, the member, oh my, he just likened the Trinity to a rock band. No, I'm not kidding you. He likened the Trinity to a rock band. If that is true, then the phrase, these three are one, is meaningless or a lie, and you're teaching that the Trinity is three persons who are not one, but just happen to be in a group of persons which collectively are called God. Like a rock band, the members of a rock band are referred to by one name, but they are not actually one. That makes no sense at all. Right. So he says Jesus is the Father. Proof two that Jesus is the Father in some sense. Wow. Proof that the Holy Ghost is the Father. Do you see this? So when the Bible says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, does that not strike you as weird? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You see how that's absolutely insane? I'm telling you, what you have here is somebody that does not understand the scriptures at all that's trying to teach it. And it's really quite frightening. Modalism is one. Sabellianism is another. Let's see if I can spell that right. I'm not like Jacob, so I can't spell that right probably, but we'll get it close here. Here we go. Here's another heresy. Sabellianism is the belief that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three different modes or aspects of God, opposed to a Trinitarian view of the three distinct persons within the Godhead. So these are modes or aspects of God. Sabellius was a theologian and a priest from the 3rd century. None of his writings has survived, so all that is known about him is from his opponents. All evidence shows that Sabellius held Jesus to be deity while denying the plurality of persons in God and holding a belief similar to modalistic monarchism. Modalistic monarchism, Manichaeism. I think that's Manichaeism. No, not Manichaeism. Has been generally understood to have arisen during the 2nd and 3rd century and to have been regarded as heresy after the 4th, although this is disputed by some. Sabellianism has been rejected by the majority of Christian churches in favor of Trinitarianism, which is eventually eventually defined as three distinct, co-equal, co-eternal persons of one substance by the Athanasian Creed. Anyway, the point is, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They don't believe that. They believe that they're manifestations. I've had these guys tell me they're not Pentecostal oneness, or they're not oneness in their doctrine, but then they come across, but then when they explain it, they're actually Pentecostals. Or not Pentecostals, they're actually oneness. They actually are preaching oneness. And you're right, when you call them on it, guess what happens? They run for the border. That's what they do. They take off and run for it. Why is that? Well, because they don't like defending their false doctrine. This was the post that I did here earlier. I've been causing some trouble on Facebook, I guess. I've been off there for a while, but I just, you know, I it bothered me. You know, and some people, they're okay with that. They don't even say anything about it. They'll hang out with these guys and they won't say anything about it. Right? They don't say anything about it. But the problem is they're teaching heresy and they don't know the doctrine of Christ. I want to show you something. Well, actually, let's just go to Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Look, if you don't have the right Jesus, you're in a lot of trouble. If you're believing in a Christ that's not in the Bible, that don't mean you're going to have everything perfect and you're going to have perfect understanding. I'm not talking about that. But I had one of these pastors on Facebook tell me that he wouldn't preach with me because I'm post-trib. But he said that he would preach with Andrew Sluter, and I'm like, that guy's a oneness heretic. But he said he'd rather preach with him. Right? It was almost like that guy was giving me this look right here. Do you remember this look right here? Do you remember that guy? That's how they all look at me when I bring this issue up. Like, that guy. That guy. A moment of silence for that guy. Who remembers that guy? I don't know if any of you that are listening right now remember that guy right there. Huh? That guy loved me, didn't he? That guy. Right there. Wasn't that something? Somebody, okay, I want to go to that here. Somebody mentioned that. Let's go back to the scriptures here. Well, what happened to it? There it is. Okay. I want to show you this verse right here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And this verse is used by modalists. This verse is used by modalists, right? I was going to look something up here. Let's see. Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, it calls him the Everlasting Father. But what is it referring to? It's referring to his incarnation. It's referring to the fact that he is the father of his generation. Who are his generation? He is the first begotten of what? Of the dead. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's dealing with his incarnation. He is the father of his race. What is his race? His race is those that are born from above, those that are born again by the Spirit of God, those that have heavenly genes, those that have been born again. That's his race. Yep, Denlinger is another one that preaches modalism. And see, they all do. I mean, Randy Hardinger, he's another heretic heretic, devil-possessed man I got into it with years ago. That's one of those guys, too. They try to mask it. See, they're very smooth with their language and the way they describe it. But that's what they do. And they all fall into these camps of Ruckmanites and everything else. You know, so let's see, let me find this here. Let me find this. Let's see here. How many of you have listened to this sermon, this teaching? How many of you have heard this one before? The Trinity declared in 120 verses. Have any of you heard this one yet? This one, I go through. I go through many of these. Let's play about the Trinity. There has been a controversy that has arisen here. You know, and you say, I don't know anything about it. Well, that's okay, because I'm not preaching this solely because of that. I've wanted to preach and talk to you about the Trinity for a while. And I remember I said something back months ago, probably 3 or 4 months ago, about the Trinity. And tonight we go through your word. And Lord, by your grace, you've given me the scriptures tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of this Bible study is going to really give you my position that about this very important subject. When you're dealing with God, it is extremely important. The triune God is extremely important. Now, there's a lot of people that it's Roman Catholic and it's everything else. You know, is the teaching of the Trinity in the Bible? Yes. Yes. Is the word in there? No. By the way, I like when people use that argument. They talk about the Trinity, and they say, well, that word Trinity is not in the Bible. Well, guess what? The word Bible is not in the Bible either. Right? None of that's in the Bible either, but we still understand what it's referencing.
Neither is the word Bible in the Bible, but you use that too, you hypocrite. Now, I like the sign that the deaf use for the Trinity. They go like this. 3 and 1. I think it explains the position very well. 3, 1. Explains it, right? I think it does. I think it explains it very well. Now, what is our basis? Whenever we study the scriptures, what do we do? Here's what we do when we study the Bible. We always take the plain, pure teaching of the Word of God for any star one.
The first verse we go to is 1 John 5:7, right? But there are so many other verses in the scriptures that deal with the Trinity. So many verses that prove the doctrine of the Trinity, that prove that modalism and... Remember what we said modalism was, right? Here's Sabellianism, and then we'll get back to modalism here. It's the doctrine that the persons of the Trinity represent only three modes or aspects of the divine revelation. It don't really matter what you say. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the word Trinity. It's fine. You know, it's just like the word Bible. There's nothing wrong with the word Bible. It's fine. It's not in the Bible, but it's not in the Word of God, but we still use it. It's okay. It's fine. You know, and if you look at that word, it means divine nature. But what does the word Trinity mean? The Christian Godhead is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So, you know, I've seen all these... People have all kinds of different pictures. That's a tri-catcher. I wouldn't use that. You know, I'm not afraid of any of those words because I know how to explain them. You know what I mean? I'm not afraid of that. So there's a lot of people that are. But I'm not. I'm not afraid of those words because I can explain them to people and it's a basis for people to understand. Right. So, when you listen to those, you kind of get an idea of that. Now, what is up with all these? Why is there such a rise of this? Well, I will tell you why mostly there are. It's because of shallow teachings. Like, for instance, this book on repentance. Completely shallow. Modalism. Being taught that... Why? Because people are ignorant of the Godhead. People are ignorant of the Bible. They're ignorant of Bible doctrine. That's why you have these people that are able to teach what they do is because churches are not teaching Bible doctrine. They're not teaching it. They're not teaching any kind of systematic theology that's consistent. They're not doing it. And what's happening is people are they're just dumbed down. And they don't understand the scriptures and so somebody comes along and teaches them something that is completely false or completely completely, or not even completely, I would say they're distorted. And then what happens is people don't know it. It just sounds good. It sounds good. It sounds right. Sounds okay, but they don't study the Bible to know it. And then they don't realize the absolute heresy that people are teaching. out there. And it's very subtle. Very subtle. Just like this, the Trinity in oneness. Now, that ought to send about 1,000 red flags off in a Christian's mind when they see that title. But to most of these people, it doesn't. You know, it doesn't register with some of these folks, sadly. Now, David Cloud talks about the Trinity in his Way of Life Encyclopedia. In this divine and infinite being, there are three substances: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit of one substance. Father. And one substance, power and eternity, each having the whole divine essence, yet the essence undivided. The Father is of none, neither begotten nor proceeding. The Son is eternally begotten of the Father. The Holy Spirit proceedeth from the Father and the Son, all infinite, without beginning. Therefore, but one God, who is not to be divided in nature and being, but distinguished by several peculiar relative properties and personal relations, which the doctrine of the Trinity is the foundation of all our communion with God and our comfortable dependence on Him. This was the profession of faith held by most Christians until the modern era. The popular hymn, Holy, 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 proclaims, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Our heart cries, Amen and Amen. This is indeed the God of the Bible. The New Testament plainly teaches the Trinity in so many different places. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19. The Bible coming. The Holy Ghost is God. Jesus is God. The Father is God. Jesus is not the Holy Ghost. The Father is not Jesus. Jesus is not the Father. Each person of the Trinity is said to have separate personality. Let's look at some of these verses. John 14. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. That's the Trinity right there. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost right there. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Very simply, it's not hard. You have to make it hard. But it isn't that hard on purpose. Look at John. Then there's John 16, 7 through 15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you shall see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Notice the difference in the persons. Right there. Telling you what, these people are to be marked and avoided. I'm going to show you some people to mark and avoid. Here's one right here. That guy needs to be marked and avoided right there. He's preaching heresy. I'm going to give you another guy that's a heretic. Here's another one right here, this guy. That guy. That guy needs to be marked and avoided. Why is that? Because he's preaching heresy, that's why. He's preaching a false Jesus. That's what he's doing. These guys are all okay with it. A lot of these people, they're fine with it. They don't have a problem with it. They're okay with it. Why? Oh, because they preach the pre-tribulation rapture. So you can be any kind of devil you want to be. And none of these people really, they're not gonna stand up against it. They're not gonna. That guy's name was Andrew Sluter. He does some backwoods hillbilly broadcast or something, but I wouldn't be listening to it. Because it's heresy. You know, and I'm thinking very strongly about getting into this Ruckmanism and dealing with it, dealing with the errors of Ruckmanism and doing an entire series on it. Because it's bad. It's bad. It's teaching a lot of false doctrine out there. It has for many years. Second Corinthians 13:14. Now I've went through a lot of these verses before. In that teaching that you can go back and listen to. The grace of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. There it is right there. It's right there. It is co-equal one with another. 1 John 5:17 and 18. And Philippians 2:6-7. The Bible says that they're God. Right? So the Old Testament teaches that God is one in three persons. In Genesis 1:1, the Hebrew word for God here is Elohim. This is a plural noun, but the verb is singular. This teaches that there is one God in plurality. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. God is again spoken of as a plural. Yet we know from other Old Testament passages that God is one. Genesis 11:7. Says God is again spoken in the plural and the singular in the same time. Deuteronomy 6:4. Dealing with that. The Lord our God is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He is one. And also three. Three and one. We find here, consider Psalm 45, 6, and 7. Bible teaching about God. He is one, but exists in three persons. Psalm 45, 6, and 7. Very, very easily to understand. We have here, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of right of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. What do we have here? The answer is that Jesus, here we go. What do we have? We have the God, the Father, is speaking in Psalm 45. He's referring to the Son of God. Sometimes people ask if Jesus himself was God, why did he address the Father as God? The answer is that Jesus addressed the Father as God for the same reason that the Father addressed the Son as God, because they are both God. In Isaiah 48, 16, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is speaking and referring to God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Very simple. The Trinity is seen in Christ's life, at his incarnation, in his birth, at his baptism, and at his resurrection. But what do we have today? We've got people that are fighting the obvious. Is it not strange to you that these people would fight the absolute obvious for something else? Because they can't perfectly explain it, so then they have to do away with it, and they have to try to explain it. Listen to me. There are some things that you don't have to understand about God. You're told to believe it. You're never told to understand the Trinity. You're never told that. You're told to believe it. I've done a study on Proverbs 8, I think years ago, I believe, but I can't remember. You'd have to look it up. Each person of the Trinity is said to do the same works. Creation, compare that. So what about one of these arguments? One of the arguments is that David Cloud brings up here, which is very good. What about the argument that the doctrine of the Trinity doesn't make sense? The chief argument used against the doctrine of the Trinity is that it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem reasonable. The answer to this is that we must believe the Bible regardless of whether or not it makes sense to our puny human understanding. And he uses Hebrews 11:6. Let's go there. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Right. The Holy Spirit is a person. And we know he's a person. How? Because he can be grieved. Let's see here. I was going to play this for you real quick.
Okay. Is that plain enough? Okay, so now we're going to read it all together, okay? Even the reference. Ready? 1 John 5:7. You ready? All right, we'll start over. You're not paying attention. All right. Ready? Repeat after me. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Okay, we're done with that. Yep, we are. Now we're done. We can go. No, we're not. I'm going to show you tonight probably about 8 pages worth of scriptures that talk that prove the Trinity. Like 8 pages, and I'm not kidding you. God showed it to me yesterday. I sat down with my Bible, and I sat down with that, what's that called, Aaron? The Pure Bible Word Search Software.
Yeah.
I sat down with that, and I went through every single one. Yeah, it is. I went through every single reference that I could find. You say, but I don't see any of those. I know, I'm going to show you all. Because here's the thing you have to understand. Remember, the title of this Bible study, The Trinity is Declared More Than It Is Explained.
Amen.
Okay? Now, I'm going to start with Webster, and I'm not going to stick on that. Everything else was scriptures that the Lord gave me. But I want to give you a few definitions that David Cloud used and Webster used.
Yep.
Just as a point of another reference, okay? He used Cathcart's, Webster's dictionary defines the Trinity as the union of three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in one Godhead, so that all three are one God as to substance, but three persons as to individuality. So they are three persons as to substance. They are all God. They are three in one. Okay? But they each have a personality. Each of them have a...
Wow, you can hear that kid crying in the background. I don't know whose kid that was. That's the first time I listened to that. Oh, some of that we get... some of our newer recordings don't have those problems just because Luke does it through the other microphone. But I'm not sure how that happened. But if I can blame Luke, I will. Luke wasn't running things back then, so we'll have to blame his father. I think he was. It's everybody's fault but mine, of course. I believe that wisdom is the impersonation of Jesus. Well, actually, Enoch, I don't think that's correct. I've heard people say that wisdom, that is Jesus, but I'm not sure I agree with that. But anyway, that's it. That's another story altogether. Let's see what we got here. Let's see. Where were we? Go back to our text here. Yep, here we go. Is it really reasonable for us to demand that we understand perfectly everything about God? We do not fully understand even our own selves or the world in which we live. How can we expect to fully understand the eternal Almighty God? 1 Timothy 2:23 warns us to avoid foolish and unlearned questions. A foolish question is one which is used to overthrow plain Bible teaching. Here's where the problem comes. The problem comes when people ignore clear Bible teaching for something they can't quite explain that's kind of a little bit difficult to understand, and they totally go against clear Bible teaching and follow that path. It's like some of the verses that deal with eternal security. They will ignore plain Bible teachings of eternal life, God hath preserved his saints, all of those things, and they will take spurious passages out of context and make them Bible doctrine and totally blow they have to totally disavow or get rid of like 50 verses for one or two verses that they believe is what they're saying. And that's what they do. And that's a major problem. Because you're just doing it so your pet little false doctrine can be accepted. So be careful that you don't, when you're interpreting the Bible, that you interpret it contextually. context is king, and that you also understand that it has to agree with the rest of the scriptures, and if it doesn't, then your interpretation is probably messed up. A foolish question is one which is used to overthrow plain Bible teaching, such as questions about the Trinity, or the resurrection, or the incarnation of Christ, or the condition of man after death. The false teacher asks foolish questions which cause people to doubt the Word of God. The true teacher encourages people to believe the Word of God regardless of whether its teaching seems perfectly reasonable. So it's a good question that he's proposing. He's trying to for you to understand, wait a minute now, that you got to be careful about this because you start falling for this and you're going to be throwing out a lot of plain Bible doctrine. Especially like the verses we just went over. How about, here's another one. I got one for you. First Peter 1, 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, comma, through sanctification of the Spirit, comma, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. What do you see there? You see the Trinity there. You see God the Father, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at that. So you've got the incarnation of Christ being dealt with here, the blood of Jesus Christ. The work of the Bible calls him the eternal spirit. Look at this. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The whole gospel, that's right, Jacob. Or Jacob. Jacob. That is correct, Jacob. The Bible is dealing with the different aspects of God's work when it talks about, you know, sanctification and all the, but that's a work of the Holy Spirit. We understand that. God the Holy Spirit. That's his work. Happy Hanukkah, Carl. Happy Hanukkah. Is it a new year where you're at, Carl, or are you in parts unknown somewhere? Okay. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So look at that. That's the Trinity right there. See, the Bible, here's the thing that you have to understand. The Bible does not, God's word does not deeply define and explain and expound the Trinity. Doesn't. Why? Number one, because we can't understand it. That's number one. We couldn't understand it. Do you get that? We couldn't understand it. That's the first reason. There's no way that you and I would be able to understand the Trinity. So the Bible does not expound, it does not explain that deeply. What does it do? It declares it. It declares it. All over the scriptures, we see just a normal declaration of the Trinity. That's what we see. So how does the doctrine of the Trinity differ from polytheism? That'll work. That's fine. Thank you. So, you know, how does it? How does it? Ooh, it's like pineapple juice. Anyway, now I'm really going to be screaming. Woo! But how does the doctrine of the Trinity differ from polytheism? It's a good question to ask. But let's back up a little bit. There are things in the scriptures that God doesn't really let us understand a lot of. Things deeply that we can't really get. So God says, God declares it. He declares it. Now, how does it differ from polytheism? Jehovah's Witnesses and other charge that the doctrine of the Trinity is polytheistic. It's a concept similar to Hinduism, but it's not true. And there's a reason for that. Number one, the gods of polytheism are not truly one. Though the idolater says he believes in one God, he does not. Hindu gods, for example, fight one another, marry one another, create one another, destroy one another. Contrawise, the Trinity of the Bible is one in purpose, in mind, in power, in glory, and in action. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, all working together. Do you notice there is never any disunity in the Trinity? These three are one. Always working together. Never divided in that. Never divided in purpose, ever. Ever. You can't say that about any other relationship in this world. You can't say that about a husband and wife. You can't say that about a government and its people. You can't say that about anything except God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the Blessed Trinity. You cannot say it out of anything else besides the Godhead. There's nothing else that compares to it. And that's why you can't understand it. You can't understand how those three persons can be one. You can't fathom it in its entirety. You just believe God. You say, how do I understand the hypostatic union? I don't. I don't understand it that well. It was said of Martin Luther that he sat there and he thought, he sat there when Jesus on the verse, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He sat there with wringing his head like this, and he did it for hours. And he said this, he said, God forsaking God? He couldn't grasp it. And when Jesus is on the cross And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? To grasp that understanding of what was taking place, the darkness that Christ was going through. The fact that he was cut off. He was cut off from the love of the Father completely. Cut off. And that's why he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was in utter darkness on that cross, suspended between heaven and earth, the darkest and blackest it could ever be. That's the way it was. The darkest and blackest it could ever be. But you know what? The Bible declares that's what happened. And us trying to get a glimpse of understanding that is hard. It's hard for us to really fathom that. And we'll never understand how bad that felt and what Christ went through. The psychological, physical, and spiritual torment of the cross to have all the sins of the world on you. Well, how do I understand that? Let's put it that way. How do I understand God forsaking God? That it was the plan, that's why. And that Christ agreed to it. How do I know that? Because Christ said that no man taketh my life, but I lay it down freely. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. That was the plan. That was the plan. Think about that. Always unified. Always the plan. Jesus, this is what makes it even more amazing, is that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, look what he did. He perfectly obeyed his Father. Perfectly obeyed God. No amount of disunity dwelled in him as he gave his life a ransom for sinners. That's how absolutely amazing the Trinity is. One in purpose, in mind, in power, in glory, and in action. Think about that. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Now, that's the difference in polytheism. Polytheism says God is revealed in many manifestations. The Trinity teaches that God is revealed in one incarnation, Jesus Christ. In Christ is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the express image of the invisible God. Let's go to those verses. Man, are they powerful? Oh, let's see here. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Express image of his person. That's right, Jacob. Polytheism is modalism. Keeping it real with Jacob. I'm trying to find what happened to my... Hey, Luke, I clicked something and I lost my PDF upload thing I had there. Where do you suppose it went? It, like, disappeared somewhere. And I don't use these... whatchamacallits. I don't use these windows because... Quite frankly, I don't think they work. And I don't like them. I'll go back to the Trinity here. I'll just use this. Look at that. Boom. Look at that fast. Anyway, yes, that's exactly what it sounds like. Why does it sound like that? Because that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. We'll get to the Trinity here in a second. I recommend this, by the way. You ought to buy this off David Cloud and thewayoflife.org. And I don't get anything for you buying it. Although you may send your donations, too. I'm just kidding. But you can send them if you want. I won't turn them down. Hey, I'm a Baptist. We need all the donations we can get. All right, let's see here. Where was I? Oh, I guess I could search like this. Oh, no, that doesn't search. That gets huge. Look how huge that is, guys. I bet you could see this. A lot better now. Whoa, look at this. This is a great encyclopedia, though. You know, sometime I should do a program for you guys where I just show you how to use references and all the different things that I use. Maybe that would be good, or maybe it would bore you to death. I don't know. I have no idea how you would feel about that. Maybe Jacob would like it. That's about it. Maybe Jacob would be the only one that listens to it. Try, Jacob. It would be Jacob, and that would be it probably. Jolly Jacob, and that would be it. Okay. Polytheism says that God has revealed many manifestations. Okay, so here we go. Colossians 2:9 deals with that. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Well, look, Carl. I can't give you everything. I can't give you everything for free on here. There's got to be a cost. And I can't let you see all the secret materials here. Authorize Mike. How did you know about McClintock and Strong's Encyclopedia? Mike, have you been listening to my other sermons? I caught you. Mike, you've been listening to my other sermons, and you figured out that I use Strong's and McClintock. Mike, I just want to give you a thumbs up right now for you paying attention. I mean, you're not like Carl. You actually pay attention. I mean, Mike, you're actually listening. You're not like Carl. Carl's playing video games right now. You're actually listening, Mike. I mean, you picked up the reference in the sermon to Strong and McClintock's, that sermon I did a few weeks ago, didn't you? Right? I'm telling you. You ain't playing around like Carl Winters, man. I mean... Mike's almost up to secret handshake level right now. I mean, he's Mike, you're pretty close to secret handshake level. I mean, Mike's getting pretty close to official gear. I mean, We're gonna be bringing out the OPBC online gear pretty soon, man. I mean, Mike's getting close, man. Mike just hit a whole new level with that one, man. I can tell he's paying attention. Oh. And half the people left. They're like, okay, I'm done with him rambling. Leave me alone. Stop it. Oh, that's funny. I did, Carl. I mentioned it in three sermons. You are listening, Carl. Carl is actually listening. Man, Carl. You're all right, Carl. No matter what Marita says about you, you are all right, Carl. All right. Polytheism says there are different degrees of deity. Between the highest God and man are various descending powers. The gods which guard Hindu temples, for example, are thought to increase in power as one approaches closer to the temple. The Trinity says there is only one God. There are no degrees of the Godhead. Man comes directly to God through Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus Christ, you have God. So, Carl, we actually talked about it a while ago and I just forgot. Carl, nobody believes that I forget anything. Come on. People have been around me long enough to know that I never forget anything, Carl. I'm like an elephant that never forgets. That's not true. Anyway, so you see the difference here. Oh, you just believe in three gods. No, we don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God. The Bible says it all over that there's one God. So the sad thing is these folks, they don't believe what the Bible says. And they're actually leading people astray. They're leading into false worship because they don't understand who God is. Let's see. Anyway, but let's see. I think that's about it for now. I'm not going to go too deep into it, and I'm going to get out of here pretty soon. But does anybody have any questions at all about any of that we talked about there? I'm not going to stay too long just because I started late, and I got to get home, and I have a busy day tomorrow of studying and get prepared for my sermon series. And New Year's Eve went great, by the way. I should probably talk about that. New Year's Eve went great. We were out there preaching. I'm sorry that I couldn't do any videos. It was so cold. It was so cold that my phone went dead. That's how bad it was. It just froze the phone, man. Cold out there. And just killed my phone off. So, I couldn't do anything. Yeah, that's right, Mike. The Trinity isn't, that's not a word in the Bible. And then that starts the whole thing where people just stop, their brains shut off. They're like, oh my goodness, it's not. What have I been learning? I'm going to go become a Pentecostal and speak in tongues. And that's what they do. What's that? Let's see. Who could forget this one while we're waiting?
If we open it up, it's going to ooze, and if we open it up, it's going to leak, and if we open it up, it's going to smell, and we open it up, it's going to hurt, but if we don't open it up, if we don't open it up, it won't get better.
That's what I'm saying.
It won't get better. It'll just stay bitter, and if it stays bitter, it won't get better. It'll stay bitter. It'll stay bitter.
And you don't want to put that stuff on your bread. If you ever put bitter batter butter on your bread like that, it's terrible. Don't do that.
Resentful and angry because nobody told you it was going to be like this. And I don't even want to open this up in public because I know how deep it is. But the Lord, while the anointing is passing by, there's too much anointing in this
room. Dude, who thinks this reminds him of wrestling? I know I've said it before, but I can't help it. Every time I watch this, it's like, every time I watch this, I'm like, this guy goes, there's just too much anointing in this room. It reminds me of Hulk Hogan when there's too much Hulkamania in the room and he rips off his shirt and he's like, yeah, there's just too much. Look, there's too much anointing in this room.
To minister to everybody else and leave you sitting over there festering and festering and festering.
You know, is it me or is he calling that guy a fat zit? Because doesn't it seem like... doesn't it seem like he's calling that guy a zit? Because he's like, no, listen, because he goes, he's like, you're festering, you're oozing over there. And he's like, I'm about ready to pop that zit. he's like, I'm about ready to pop that zit. Watch, he's going to pop it, watch.
And festering, especially, you said it in a joking way, but especially when the spirit of suicide hangs around your house trying to get you back. Ow! 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 I call it out!
Dude, he just popped that zit. TD Jakes is in like designer sweatpants and like a red sports coat. He hobbles off over there. He's like, I'm going to go back up there and hit him again, man. He needs hit again. There's still some oozing in that thing, man. I got to pop that thing. Like airing him out over there. I don't know what she's doing. Anyway, did anybody else have any other questions? I'm sorry. That was funny. I had to. I know some of you don't get my sense of humor probably, but I can't help it. When I see these things, I just have flashbacks to like Hulkamania, okay? I have like flashbacks of wrestling and because this is like there's nothing in me that if I would ever see this, there's nothing in me that would think any of this is real. I'd be like, these guys are nuts. Okay. We'll put TD back in his box. All right, let's see here. You asked one, Jacob. Oh, Jacob asked about a book, right? Well, I would say one of the best books I believe is by Bickerseth, Edward Bickerseth. He wrote a book on the Trinity, and I've heard it's one that Spurgeon recommended. I think his name is Bickerseth, yeah, on the Trinity. He also wrote one on the Holy Spirit, but I have not read it, though. I'll be honest with you. I've not read that one, but I think it was Spurgeon that recommended it, but I could be wrong, but it was recommended. Let's see, who else? I have a few of them that I haven't read yet, which I want to. Is that man ever going to get up? Oh, yeah, that's funny, Sean. If you ever want to find that video, Carl Winters, all you have to do is type in T.D. Jakes in the Spirit of Suicide, and it'll pull it up right away. Let's see. Oh, you hear that man is a trichotomy. Man is three. He's a body, soul, and spirit or whatever, or mind, soul, and body. I think there's some truth to that in that sense. See, man works so – the mind is so intricate. It's so intricate. Intricately connected with the emotions – the heart, that it's very difficult to differentiate those. When you have soul trouble or mind, when you have mind trouble, it's difficult to differentiate whether that's soul trouble or not, because your mind sometimes won't be able to differentiate that. Unfortunately, you only learn through dealing with anxiety and other things, if you've ever dealt with that, you only learn to be able to differentiate between any mind trouble with actual soul trouble. But, yeah. So... let's see. Somebody asked me, do I like Spurgeon? Yeah, I liked him. I've got about, I don't know. I have the Metropolitan Tabernacle, if that tells you anything. That should tell you something. I have the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And I have, let's see. I have also the, I have a lot of his books. Yeah. A lot of first print ones, a lot of stuff. Yep. Anyway, but let's see. Let us hear Benny Hinn sing for a minute. Yeah. Isn't he a Calvinist? Yep, he's a Calvinist. Spurgeon was a Calvinist. He was. I also have the works of John Wesley, and he was an Armenian. But I don't put them next to each other on my shelf, because I'm afraid that they'll start a war with each other on my shelf. Right? I don't want that to happen. I do have the T-shirt, that's right. I showed these guys this quote. Let's see if I can find it. This quote is so funny. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is right here. Whoops, that one. This quote is so funny. The venerable dead are waiting in my library to entertain me and relieve me from the nonsense of surviving mortals. I love that quote. Oh, that's funny. Yep. I've learned from a lot of people. I have Peter Ruckman's books in my library. I wouldn't recommend you buy them, though. I don't want you to get confused. And I'm not trying to exalt myself as if I'm better than somebody. I've just been saved for 18 years. I've been studying the Bible for a long time. And by God's grace, I've been grounded. And I don't... So do you believe in predestination and free will at the same time? Well, yeah, I believe that somewhere along the way, God and the will of man meet, and I have no idea where that is. I don't have the understanding of that completely. But I do believe that the man does not get saved unless the Holy Ghost of God works on him. And I don't believe it's anything in me that was good in me that makes me want to nothing in me wanted me to be saved. I'll put it that way. It wasn't my doing. It wasn't because there was some virtue found in me that made me want to be saved. So it was God's Spirit that worked, and I believe that. I just don't believe in limited atonement. I reject it. But, anyway. I can't explain it all. But I thank God that he brought me to repentance and faith in Christ. That's what I thank God for. So, that's God's work. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. All right, anyway. I better get out of here. It's already late. I'm later than what I said I was going to stay. So I guess I'll let you all go now, and you all have a good weekend. And next week I'm hoping to start a new series on alcohol and the Christian. I'd like to, hopefully I have time to do that. I'd like to start a series on liquor. Alcohol. Then I want to get into marijuana. I want to talk about marijuana. Okay? And deal with that. Deal with alcohol. Deal with marijuana. Deal with being sober. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, there's a lot to talk about with those subjects. So we're going to do that in the weeks to come here. Hopefully next week I can get to starting on alcohol. Preaching on alcohol, not starting alcohol. But you be careful. What will you cover, weed too? Why, yes. I will cover weed. We're going to talk about dope smokers. We're going to talk about drunks. We're going to talk about dope smokers. And we'll talk about vapors. Everything smokes like pot over here. Well, that's weird. I don't know where you live. Let's see. Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll make lots of friends. With that subject. But anyway, all right, I'll let you all go. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you Monday, Lord willing.